come to that time in our service where we look at God's Word. And if you've still got your Bibles and you're in Matthew 22, that's where we're going to start. Now, this evening, the Lord's laid on my heart a subject that I think every Christian would have a battle with. I think every Christian at some stage in their life would have a battle with. And I know, as the Lord has spoken to me, I trust it's a blessing to each and every one this evening. The subject of a message this evening is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I believe one of the most important parts of living the Christian life is controlling what we are thinking, what we let go through our minds and what we let and what we meditate on in our minds. If you'd ask anyone in the world today, they would say the most important thing is the power of positive thinking. I'd say most people in the world would say that. And while there is some truth into thinking positively, and it's very good to think positively, and godly thinking is positive thinking, just positive thinking will not help us to live godly and to live the Christian life in this world today. If we have a look at our reading this evening, Matthew 22, we find there was a lawyer that asked Jesus a question tempting him, saying, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then secondly, he said that they were to love your neighbour as yourself. That first, the part of the commandment there that Jesus told him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, is what I want to consider this evening. And the first, tonight we'll look at the first part of this, and we'll look at the next part later on sometime. Love the Lord your God with your mind. God is concerned by what we think. God is concerned with what we dwell on. It's one of those things that there's nobody else that knows what we are thinking. You can't see what anyone else is thinking. Now, the question this evening is, does what we are thinking constantly let the Lord know that we love him? That's the question. Does our thinking let the Lord know that we love him? Do you know, if you don't have to turn there, but in Malachi 13:16, it says this, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. If we look back at Malachi, the children of Israel back then were in not a very good state, but there was still a remnant that followed and feared the Lord of the children of Israel. And you've got to remember here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I would say that the wise ones of the children of Israel were those who were following the Lord. And it says here that the Lord made a book of remembrance and wrote their names in a book of remembrance for they that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. There was a certain remnant, there was probably a minority of them that still loved and followed the Lord and thought on his name. How much thought do we give to the name of the Lord Jesus? Do we meditate on the things of the Lord? That's the question this morning. My first point is God knows what we are thinking. God knows what we are thinking. In Psalm 139, verse 2, it says, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The psalmist David here recognises the fact that God knows exactly what we are thinking. That it says in the first part, Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. And then it says, Thou understandest my thought afar off. More than just knowing it, he understands what we are thinking. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. And he understands every thought and the thought patterns of our mind. He understands our deepest thoughts and our deepest fears and our deepest feelings. We cannot hide anything from God. He even knows what we think. So God knows what we're thinking. So now we've established that part of it. That's a very quick point. My second point is God's word can check our thinking. God's word can check our thinking. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this. It says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says here, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Here's the magnifying glass to put on what on our thoughts, the word of God. The magnifying glass that will illuminate the parts in our thinking that shouldn't be there. If you want to know if your thoughts are honouring to God, spend time reading his word. There's many, many, I could go over many verses that talks about thoughts that the Lord knows and the thoughts of our heart that can be checked by the Bible. We could go over many, many parts, but we're going to move quite quickly through the subject. But if you want to know if your thoughts are honouring to God, if you read this book and you pray and ask the Lord, he will show you. He will show you where they're not right. That's why it's so important to start the day with that quiet time, that time where we read God's word and we pray and we spend time with him, because it gives us the thoughts first up in the morning to think about through the day. There's a little calendar actually at Levi and Abby's place that sits on the table there. It's called Daily Gleanings or something like that. It's a very great little calendar, and it's got a verse on it and a little thought there, and just something like that can prepare your thoughts for the day. Now obviously it's not like a quiet time, but it's something there that you just glance past and read, and it brings your thoughts to think about the things of the Lord, encouraging thoughts. And a lot of people I hear today say we're too busy for a quiet time. Many Christians I talk to say, we're too busy to read or too busy to do anything. Do you know, the most important time of the day is those few moments that we spend with the Lord, reading his word, preparing for the day. God's word can check our thinking. Thirdly, captivating godly thinking. How do we captivate godly thinking? Or how do we prepare to get godly thinking? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. It says, Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Having godly thinking is a step of obedience towards the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, I believe we should take this seriously. The devil is constantly bombarding the Christian with, there's things on the television, there's things on the internet, there's things on the phone that pop up all the time and can jump into our minds. Advertising people are constantly trying to get new ways to captivate the audience, to get them to see their point of view. It's a constant battle to keep our minds pure. Bringing every thought into captivity. controlling our thoughts. If we don't control what we think, sin can be the result. The simple progress of sin is this: temptation comes to us through the eyes or through the ears, comes into our mind. If we allow our minds and our thinking to be controlled by it, then it turns to lust. And then if we allow our thoughts to continue, these thoughts can lead to sin or us performing sin. As humans, we are naturally drawn towards lustful thoughts, sinful thoughts. We need to guard our minds. We need to watch what we think, what we allow to stay in our minds. It's so important. This is why there's so much in God's word about the word think or thinking, thoughts, and our minds. Because this is not visible to anyone around us. You can have the what you see as the greatest Christian you've ever seen, and they can be still struggling with what they're thinking. God knows our thoughts. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Romans, and in Romans 12 and verse 1, he said this: "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How are we not to be conformed to this world? The world wants us to be conformed. In the world's position, everyone's trying to be different, but what is happening is the world just all looks the same. The path of sin is all the same. And here, the Apostle Paul is trying to get the Romans to see that they've got to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed into the image of Christ. It happens by the renewing of your mind. Our minds to be renewed. This is part of presenting our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Our minds need to be transformed by renewing. When you look up the words renewing, it just means to take out the old and to bring in new. I'm a mechanic by trade, and I sort of think of it as reconditioning. You know, it's probably totally got nothing to do with it, but as you think about reconditioning, what you do is you take out the old that's no good out of an engine, you pull it all apart, and you take out the old that's no good and you replace it with new to make it engine run again. I believe it's the same with our minds. There's things in our minds that shouldn't be there. We know they shouldn't be there. And we've got to go in there and we've got to have a clean out. We've got to take all that out and we've got to replace it with what God wants us to be thinking about. Casting out the old thoughts, bringing in new thoughts. And it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 60 years or 60 days, this has got to take place. Sometimes it's got to take place many times during a life. Change your thinking, renew your thinking. This passage makes it clear to me that even to know God's will for our lives, we need our minds to be renewed. Because he said that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You wonder what the will of God is for our lives. We've got to have our minds renewed, our minds thinking about what the Lord wants to have them think about. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But you know, so many Christians have still left the old mind. They've left the old thoughts in there. And they struggle with getting getting their Christian life on track. They struggle with sin and they struggle with these things because they haven't renewed their minds. Their minds are still separated from the Lord, and their minds are still cluttered with the things of the world. Haven't had that renewing process. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour tonight, trusting Him as Saviour is the first step. You can't expect to go and clean your mind and to do it all in your own strength. It won't work. By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, that's the first place to start. And after that, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word, we can renew our minds. We can throw out those things that shouldn't be there, and this renewing process can begin. So the question is, how do we renew our minds? How do we get these old thought patterns? How do we get these things out that are holding us back? Well, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, he had a lot to say about this. Philippians chapter 4. And just going to read verse 8. And it says this. Finally, brethren, this is at the end of the, sort of getting towards the end of his epistle. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. This is the material that we need to renew our minds with. This is the material we need to bring in. And I'll just go through these points he brought up very quickly. First one he said was true. Whatsoever things are true. Our thoughts must be truthful. Look for the truthful things to dwell on. That's why it's so great to dwell on God's word, because His word is truth. Lies do not make for wholesome thoughts. The devil wants us to believe the lies of the world. In John, Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, Jesus said to these people, to the Jews which believed, he said this, he said, you shall know the truth. You'll know whether it's truth or error, and the truth shall make you free. The total opposite of sin. Sin brings bondage. Sinful thoughts brings bondage. The truth shall make you free. It says in Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The second thing we need to make sure of, first of all, truth. Secondly, whatsoever things are honest. Our thoughts must be honest. We can't expect to have pure thoughts while trying to work out how to rip off the next door neighbour. There's no way you can do it. We can't have thoughts that are to be honouring to the Lord and working out how to make more money by being dishonest. It doesn't work. You know, in Jesus' parable, Jesus talked about the sower and the seed that fell on good ground in Luke. And Jesus said this, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. An honest and good heart. An honest thinking leads to having an honest heart. Paul says here to the Romans in Romans 12:17, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Do you know, if we think honestly, our honesty will be seen. Many times I believe what comes out on the outward is coming from the mind, coming from what we're thinking. It's coming from our heart. Paul says there, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Having honest thinking will promote us to be honest people. What's the next thing we look at? Whatsoever things are just. The word just means based on or behaving according to what is morally right and fair. We need to have thoughts that are just, morally right and fair. Again, Psalm 19 talks about this. Psalm 19, as I went through, it's amazing how many things that Psalm 19 said in that short psalm that comes up in Philippians 4 and verse 8. It says this, the statutes of the Lord are right. It's the same word, just. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Proverbs 10 says this, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You can see the contrast here that Solomon puts in there. The memory of the just is blessed. Having just thoughts will make you happy. Proverbs 10 again, Solomon says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is little worth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Just and justice brings forth wisdom. We need to ask the Lord, is this thought in our mind just? Is it right? Should we be having these thoughts? Our thoughts as Christians should be just. The next one, moving along very quickly, whatsoever things are pure. Again, we could look back at Psalm 19. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Pure means clean, spotless, unsoiled. You haven't got to be in the world or around worldly people for very long before you find that this is really lacking in the world today. Purity is lacking. The world thinks it's fun and it's funny to be dirty and smutty. We are not to have these thoughts. Our thoughts are to be pure. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Pure, clean, spotless, unsoiled. Our thoughts are to be pure. What's the next one? Whatsoever things are lovely. Lovely means beautiful, as in a lovely flower. In the beauty of God's creation, God has created the world for us to enjoy, and thinking about how beautiful creation is praising God. You know, I don't know, I'm probably a bit of an outback person, but there's nothing like going out into the desert or going out into an outback place and walking along maybe some desert sand dunes or some very solitary place. And all you can hear is the wind and the birds. There's something amazing about that. You know, going for a walk down in the paddock and walking down beside the river and you hear the water running. God's creation is truly amazing, isn't it? God's creation is truly lovely. These thoughts, it's not wrong to think about God's creation and how great He is. It praises Him and we can honour Him through thinking how these things are, how lovely these things are. The next one is whatsoever things are of good report. This one here, of good report, Adam Clark said this. He said, whatsoever things the public agree to acknowledge as useful and profitable to to all men. Generally, good report. Now, there could be other meanings to good report. There's much of it, I think, is just, if you just take the word good and then the word report, it means not of bad report. So I would say that that virtually crosses out thinking a lot about the news these days. You know, there's not much good on the news. But there's nothing wrong with looking at the news, but actually to dwell on it and to dwell on all the terrible things that are going on is not great for building up the Christian. I think we've got to be careful how much of that we allow ourselves to be controlled by. Some people become very, very, very negative and very down on the things of the Lord when they look around at the world. But we've got to look up. We've got to actually see that this world is getting worse. It's not getting better. Of good report, Kezia was recently reading a book that I picked up there. It's called The Hiding Place. Corrie ten Boom was the lady in the book. And you know, this lady had an amazing story. I read it back when I was probably Kezia's age. She hid many of the Jews in her home during the persecution by the Nazi regime. And a wonderful and a courageous woman who loved the Lord and helped whoever needed helping, no matter what the cost. And she had terrible things happen to her, but it's actually a very uplifting book. She spent a lot of time in a Nazi concentration camp for helping out these Jews, and she suffered greatly. But her faith and her efforts for the Lord, there's something amazing about that. That is a good report. That's, you know, that lifts us up. That story about that lady and how she helped all those people was a great encouragement to me. Of good report, there's many people who try and always look at the bad side of the news. We should look at the good side of the news. There's always something good we can find there in some way. Of good report. This is where being positive comes into it. And then lastly, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue is... the definition of virtue is just the general good found in people. And praise, well, we all know what praise is. Praise is praising the Lord for what he has done. Praising the Lord for everything we have, for what he's done for us. Even for the simple things, for our food, for our homes, for our families, for the church here, even though we can't yet all meet together. God has given us so much to be praising him for. And he says, think on these things. Think on these things. So we are to change our, renew our minds by taking all the things we shouldn't be thinking about out and replacing them with these things. And then lastly, I just want to see the result of godly thinking. The result of godly thinking. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. The result of godly thinking, perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You might say to me, well, it's okay for Isaiah. There were not many distractions back in his day. Well, if you looked at the story of Isaiah, he was the prophet in a very turbulent time. He was the preacher to the nation of Israel and Judah when they turned their back on God. You know, if we read Isaiah, it says in verse 1, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his crib master, But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Doesn't sound like a very peaceful time to me. Isaiah was the preacher. And you know, Isaiah writes here that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Peace in the midst of controversy. Peace in the midst of turmoil. Peace in the midst of the people around him were not following the Lord. And yet he had peace. Why? In the last part of that verse it says, whose mind is stayed on thee. We can have peace no matter what our circumstance. Peace no matter what our circumstance. And the second result I'd like to look at is godly thinking, is hope. Do you know, after him, the prophet Jeremiah, he witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. And he says this in Lamentations. He was called the weeping prophet. He had so much sorrow because God judged the children of Israel due to their sin. And he had to witness it. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Prophet Jeremiah says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. He recalled to his mind God's mercies and God's faithfulness. This gave him hope in the midst of destruction. Hope in the middle of destruction. Godly thinking will not only give us peace, but it'll give us hope. And so this evening, I'd like to ask each and every one that's here and that's at home, sitting there on the lounge, listening to this message, what are you thinking? What is your thought pattern? Does your thinking need to be renewed? Do you need to go to the Lord and ask him to renew your thought pattern? Are we really serious about following the Lord, about being serious about the things of the Lord? Are we being serious about not being conformed to the world, being different? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're still struggling with the thought patterns that don't honour the Lord. You need your mind to be renewed. You don't need to tell me about it. You just need to go and to tell the Lord, to throw out those old thoughts that are dragging you down. Throw out those old thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking and replace it with something that's good and pure, honest, just, lovely, of good report. Praise the Lord for something. Every one of us, I think, need to come to the Lord and to ask him to fill our mind with what he wants there, with what he wants us to think about. There's so much that we can think about. There's so much going on with all the social media and the internet and the television. There's so much going in that it's hard to think about the things of the Lord. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Do your thoughts please the Lord? Does the Lord know that you love him because of your thoughts? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to us every day. And we thank you, Lord, for this time where we consider our thinking, Lord, our minds. And Lord, we pray that you would help that each and every one of us would have that renewing of our minds. We would be able to throw out the devil and his wickedness that comes into our minds. We'd be able to resist the temptation. And most of all, be able to fill our minds with what is pure and holy and true. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with us for the rest of our evening. We thank you for this time around your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.